Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro coming at you live from training camp, St. Joe, Missouri. Beautiful St. Joe, Missouri, as the Chiefs really soaking up what is a great atmosphere, a big change from River Falls, Wisconsin, as I can't describe how much different it is, how much better it is to see so many red and gold clad Chiefs fans out here making a huge difference. We're going to talk with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, coming up here in a little bit. We'll break down the team, all facets of the team, offense, defense, all sides of it, with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I will tell you, if you have not been up here to St. Joe, Missouri, you got to come down and experience it. We'll get Mitch's thoughts on it. But just a very different atmosphere, as it is all Chiefs, and it is much more crowded. But not too crowded. They've got plenty of bleachers, plenty of space to sit up. There's a whole open bleacher right there. But the number of people, the atmosphere, the electricity, much more here now than what we had at River Falls, Wisconsin. And I think it's translating in multiple ways. One, it's great for the fans to connect with the team. But I think from a football standpoint, it just brings everybody up to a higher level. Instead of it just being an average practice, the guys have a sense, I would think, with the electricity, the amount of fans that are in the stands, a sense to want to perform. It makes it more more real, more important, because there are so many fans out here that are enjoying the practice. So great stuff up here, and a great chance, and I'll tip my cap to the coaching staff. They are not shying away from putting the drills out in front of the fans. I know a lot of the offensive line drills, the O-line versus D-line drills, are right in front of the fans, so you get a chance to get some great action, get the kids. It's a great time to bring the kids up here to St. Joe and let them see the huge football players in action. They will certainly enjoy it. We're going to talk to Mitch Holtis. He's coming up next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs up to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a a hot day, as many of them will be here at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. And joining us now, one of our favorite guests here on the Red Zone, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a big deal. Just ask him. Mitch Holthus joins us. Mitch, how are you, man?
I don't know how to tell you this, but I am kind of a big deal around here.
You are. You're
That's no. That's the line from Anchorman. But it's been great. I've actually just been thrilled with the way this has gone up here.
Yeah, it has been outstanding. What are your thoughts? We probably saw more people in the opening weekend than we would have seen in an entire training camp at River Falls, and maybe even including Family Fun Night in an entire entire camp, all in just the first Friday, Saturday, Sunday we saw it here.
Without argument, that we wouldn't have had that many at River Falls for the total of the camp. And, there's somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 at every Friday, two Saturdays, one Sunday practice, so probably about 12 grand. And there have been about, yesterday and today, we're looking at 1,000, maybe 1,200, 1,500 at these. And I've said this publicly and privately, this is Mankato. This reminds me of when we scrimmaged the Vikings, and I always was a little jealous because I looked around and going, what would it be like if we had this someplace? Well, we have it now. This reminds me so much of Mankato. It's kind of this Cardinal atmosphere, and they can get up close. So I just think it's great. I think it's doing everything that we want it to do.
I think it's phenomenal from a business standpoint. It gives fans a chance to really connect to the team, to feel closer to the team, to feel more of a connection to the team. They're more likely to want to go buy tickets. Oh, I saw that guy. Football is the sport where you can't see a guy's face because of the helmet and the face mask. This personalizes it. When a guy comes over to take off his helmet and get water, you see, okay, that's the human being. I've seen that guy up close in 3D. The kids, some of the kids, a chance to get autographs from guys, some of the kids getting to carry the helmets, which is a great thing. I'll give credit to the coaches as well. They're not shying away from bringing the drills right over to the fences. A lot of the line drills are happening right on the fences. I was a little bit worried that they would push everything out to the middle, and so it'd be kind of far away, and the fans wouldn't be able to get that camp experience. It hasn't been that way. The fans have been able to be right on top of it. I think it's been a great experience for the older fans. And the part that I love the most, all the kids.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about an investment in your future. It's a 5-year-old kid, 7-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid comes up here, gets a chance to see these godlike creatures, these huge men playing a sport that they love and be close. It's a memory they'll never forget and draws them in and breeds them as being a Chiefs fan. It's huge for the future of the franchise. I think it's been absolutely fantastic from a business to fan part of the equation. We'll talk about the football part in a second, but the business part, the fan aspect, I don't think you could ask for it to be any better.
No, and it's the perfect spot. They were looking a lot of different places. A lot of places were competing for it. But to me, this is the perfect spot. It's easy to get to. This is a very logistically proper campus. You can get to places easily. It's not like you're working to get in here or can't find stuff. It's all right here. And you're spot on about, hey, I saw that guy. It's why we'll have 150 at every Chiefs Kingdom show, usually, up to 400, because they get to see that guy.
Right.
Okay? And one of the coolest things I've seen in my 17 years as the voice was Saturday here. Now, it became so crazy that they had to adjust the way they did autographs. But this grove that those players walked through from the practice field up to the indoor facility was full of kids. There had to be 150, 200 kids and parents, and they were all clamoring for autographs. Now, the bad thing was they couldn't sign all of them.
Right.
And it became so crazy that it's had to be redirected. But it was one of the neatest. My wife was here, and I said, I said, look at this, because it was the capturing the essence of the very thing you said. And, these are kids that maybe can't go to games or can't afford to, but they saw Matt Cassel. They got Chris Chambers' autograph. They saw Tom Bahali. It was really a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it's been outstanding from that standpoint. Now let's talk about the football. It's been hotter. I think athletes, unfortunately, the tragic death of Corey Stringer.
Stringer changed everything.
Served the purpose, did serve a purpose. It was certainly a tragedy, but it woke up players, teams, players to be better conditioned, teams to be aware of the heat. I remember that year was an incredibly hot year up in the north because he was down in Mankato, which wasn't that far from River Falls, and it was hot. That was the one time I remember it being in the 90s. Upper 90s.
It was like this.
It was like this. It was a brutally hot, and it usually wasn't like that.
No.
But it was that year. We've come down here, the hot, I'm going to tell you, just for the limited things that I do, just for watching practice, just for broadcasting out in the heat, a day or two and you're used to it. I mean, I'm sweating now. I'm not going to tell you that I'm ready to, you know, go sit down at a nice restaurant and eat. But as far as comfort level goes, after a couple of days, you really do get used to it. And I would assume it's the same thing with the players. And I don't think we've seen any drop off in the amount of work they're getting done.
A couple things to consider here. One is how hard they worked in the off season. You can't overlook that. And once your body gets trained to working that way, it can handle this better. But two, I think everybody is smarter in the National Football League, unfortunately, after Corey's death. And I remember that summer, too. It was the hottest recorded temperatures, actually, that summer in River Falls history.
Yeah.
But players hydrate better. They prepare their bodies better. That being said, I mean, heat can be accumulative, and they still watch the heat and humidity here very closely. And I'm staring at this $11 million facility. I mean, there's going to be a couple times, and we just got to kind of warn the fans and let them realize this is still training camp. This team's getting prepared to play. And if there are times that they've got to go up into that beautiful $11 million facility and use it because of weather, heat, and humidity, they've got to be prepared for that. Not saying they will, not saying they won't. But listen, this team knows how hot and humid it is, the people that run this team, and they're being very careful with it, and they monitor it and watch it. And yet Todd has said, told me twice on two different occasions, he goes, this is Latrobe. He grew up in Latrobe, or, you know, with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is a carbon copy of Latrobe, Pennsylvania, when I was a little kid and we were building those great Steeler teams. So he's okay with it. The players are trying to fight through it, but it's not something they go, hey, just go out there and climb the hill. And no, they're watching it. They're being careful with it.
It is amazing how many guys, you know, you talk to Brody Croyle. Well, it's hot. You know, that's one of the first questions everyone's asking because it's one of the news stories. Well, boy, it's hot out there. How about the hot out there? You know, I'm from the South. Yeah. It's hot down there. You know, the guys from LSU, Alabama, Florida, you know, they've been through this. You know, it's not the shock to their system. Now, some of the northern guys might be a little bit different. And I do think in the long run it will pay dividends. I think there's something to be said for getting out and toughing yourself up to it. I don't think it works quite the same as the cold. Dick Vermeil had a great line when they said, well, are you going to practice outside? It's going to be really cold. He said, we're not going to practice outside. My experience tells me when you practice outside and it's cold, all anyone thinks about is how to get warm.
Sure.
I need him to think about playing football. So we're going to move inside. We're going to get our work done, and we'll deal with the elements when we get out there. What do you think about that when it comes to heat? Can you lose concentration on a guy? Clearly, if he's medically sick, if he's overheating, you know, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, yeah, absolutely. But just overall, if a guy's in good shape, does the mind wander more? Do you not, you know, are you not quite as focused on your assignments in getting the work done if it is this hot, or no? Does it not work that direction?
No, it can. You can really struggle with concentration, and the more fatigued you get, because these guys are lifting, you know, about every day, and what these guys' body goes through during these 20 days, it's really tough, and that's why the great ones have the mental toughness to battle through it. Chris Chambers was talking about it the other day. You know, we led the league in drop passes last year with 49, and he said, you know, sometimes in the heat, you've got to concentrate even more, and he says that almost helps train your mind to be better and to concentrate more on your routes and catching passes later. So that's where it actually could work to your benefit. But listen, heat's heat, and the body temperature is all, you know, 98.6. So you just got to deal with it and fight through it. And sometimes, yeah, guys can waver. I tell you what's getting these guys is this hill they walk up to go up to the practice facility.
Yeah.
I saw Sean Smith, our Wichita Heights graduate, nose tackle. And, I mean, he had to stop like three times because he had just done a very kind of cardio-intensive practice at the end. They'll do the sprints and the perfect practice thing. And I was thinking, man, we got to get Sean a bus so we can get him up there. But he made it. But that's almost like the end mental toughness of walking up that hill when these guys are done after their second practice of the day on two days.
We're talking to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll begin to break down some of the offensive conversation. We'll save the defense for last. You know, offense pays the bills, Mitch.
Okay.
We'll get to the offense first. It's coming up next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back here in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro along with Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, as we continue to brave the heat. Yeah, they may have pads on, but we're wearing headphones. Let me tell you that right now. We don't have the shade of a helmet, just a tent. That's all we're dealing with here did I say River Falls? In St. Joe. I think I might have said River Falls. In St. Joe, Missouri, the new training camp home of the Chiefs. Very easy for you to get to. Quick drive up here, just about an hour from the longest distances, probably 45 minutes, maybe even 35 if you're way up on the north side of things, but not a tough drive at all. Perfect day trip and great to stay overnight. Folks at St. Joe, the entire city, have been absolutely fantastic and accommodating. Missouri Western State have been great. The grounds crew, I see them out here working all the time. Just been absolutely fantastic. And it's the first year. It's the honeymoon. Everybody's great in the honeymoon year. Now, we'll see what happens years from now. But St. Joe, very happy to have camp here, and it is going great. We're talking to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball. You've had a chance to see Charlie Weiss now work out on the practice field in conditions. He's doing it from a motorized chair. Because of his knee surgery, early reactions to watching Charlie Weiss and how it's different having Charlie Weiss on the field. We saw an offensive coordinator in training camp last year. It was just a different one than would end up calling the shots. So it's a big difference. But how Charlie Weiss interacts with both Todd Haley and the players, what do you think?
I kind of give the analogy of magnetic pull. Everybody's pulling in the same direction. Last year, you know, I don't think Chan intended to pull in a different way, but it was just kind of weird. It was strange. And I mean, you could kind of feel the tension a little bit that maybe everybody wasn't in that same magnetic pull. Saran, this is a totally different feel to this camp, a total 180. Todd Haley seems more relaxed and in control because I don't think he has to worry about dotting every I and crossing every T. I don't think he has to sit there and worry about every little thing. And he can trust Charlie Weiss. I mean, you can trust Romeo Crennel and Emmett Thomas is great to have here, but this is going to be a fun team to watch offensively. Now, I don't see them necessarily running a four wide spread and throwing the ball 50 times. I see them with way more weapons than they've had and being creative with those weapons. And one of the features I did yesterday on KCChiefs.com was get on the field, stay on the field, move the ball. This team was 31st in the league last year in time of possession. They were 29th in the amount of three and outs. They were last in the league in five-minute drives. They had to defend more enemy possessions more than any team in the league other than San Francisco. So here's the point. Now, this isn't Marty Ball slamming Okoye in there into the line three times. But this team has the ability to move the ball. And I think I can see what Charlie's trying to do and kind of piecing Lego blocks here together and being creative with it. You've got a guy that's going to get upfield that'll help a bunch in Thomas Jones. Now, this guy's, I mean, you've watched him work. Mm-hmm. This guy didn't slack a drop, not a drop. And now you add McCluster and Charles and improved Dwayne Bowe, who looks like he's been impressive in the early part of this camp in his precision. He missed a blitz call the other day on Saturday, but for the most part, he's way better than he was a year ago. I'm not going to tell you they're going to light up the scoreboard for 40 points, but they look to be better on offense.
Well, and part of offense and part of winning football games is scoring when you need to score, getting first downs when you need to get first downs. And, you know, I don't like the you and I sometimes disagree on some of the views back to some of the previous offenses, some of the record-setting offenses. But I think there's no doubt you'd be more outspoken on this. I think there's no doubt that sometimes they created offense to create records and not necessarily offense to create wins. Now,
And at the end of games, they struggled.
Right.
They struggled. To get third and two late in the game, 17-17 tie, we didn't get those a lot.
And part of it was because they'd been through the playbook, and part of it because, I don't want to go there. We always go back there, and we digest
and we just disagree.
But the point is, the point is that there are times that you need to get a first down. I mean, playing good defense, I've said it a million times, the NFL defense, it's the only part of sports that statistically you get better by not playing.
Yep.
If you sit on the bench, you get better as a defense. If you're not on the field, they can't rack up yards, and so statistically, you're great if you never get on the field. So if you can keep your offense out there all day, your defense will get better. It's not a coincidence the most two dominating defenses in the history of the game, the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens, had outstanding rushing attacks, and they killed the clock.
Yep.
And that helped them. They didn't have to defend 85 snaps. They only had to defend 50 snaps, and it gets a lot easier. You know, so if at the end of the game you've got a three-point lead and you can get two first downs and burn the clock off, that's big offense. That's big plays. And I think they've got the guys. I'm with you. I don't think they can pinball it and beat you 49-46. But with the McCluster, we'll get to Bowe in a second. But, you know, if Dwayne Bowe is the guy you're supposed to beat, Chris Chambers, two quality running backs, a quarterback that's now more comfortable, has more weapons, and should settle in and look more like the Patriot version of Matt Castle than last year's version of him, and an offensive line that has some continuity, four or five starters back, and theoretically an upgrade at right guard with Ryan Lilja, they should be able to get a first down when they have to get a first down and win the game. They should be that kind of offense. They've got dynamic guys who can create mismatches and get victories.
They were working yesterday on being backed up at their own one-yard line, and I heard Todd say, you've got to get two first downs. Now, we want to go down and score. If we go 99 yards, we score. Let's do that. But you got to get two first downs and get into that kind of mentality. Change field position so that you can score the next time. But just the stat I gave you, I want to repeat. This team had to defend 201 enemy possessions. If that drops by 20 or 30, which could be two a game, they're not going to be 31st in the league in total defense. And everybody looks at 390 yards they're giving up. Well, all of a sudden, watch, if this works, if this offense works, there's two things that are going to happen. People are going to say, look at the improvement in the defense because of numbers, and two, look at the improvement in Matt Castle.
Yeah, and it will be – the numbers may not even get that much bigger for Matt Castle, but it'll appear that way.
It'll appear that way.
Because they're winning football games. McCluster, we've seen different arrays that they're going to use him. He's going to be very popular. One, he's small. People always like the little guy. Two, he's lightning quick. But is he going to be effective? What do you see out there in him so far?
I see him the ability to play – five different spots, and I'm not so sure.
Any of them well?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's the key. It's one thing to play five different spots.
Most of them well, yeah. Okay. I mean, he can play the slot. He can play the X. He can come in motion. He can be, a dive back. He can take the wildcat. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be much more difficult to prepare for this year because when you watch, as opposing teams watch him on tape, you're going to have to make some decisions. Of how, first of all, how you're going to line up personnel. Yesterday, a 7-on-7 drill, a backer was on McCluster. Check down throw, they peeled him out of the backfield. He turned the corner and just left everybody in the dust. This is what the Chiefs wanted to do back in the early part of the decade with Dante Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But Dante was somewhat limited in just in how he could handle it. I don't see McCluster. He's a small guy. I mean, he's not perfect, but his speed will create some mismatch issues, and I think that it gives Charlie a chance to do a bunch of stuff with him.
Yeah, I love the idea, and I love in theory. And you know, the difference though is he was drafted much higher. He's a top of the second, almost a first round pick. So the expectations are a lot higher than what they were for a fifth round. Well, let's try the running back at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But I think his skill set is much better for this. I mean, I think he looks like a receiver. He looks like that guy that can do both of those things.
He can run routes and catch the ball.
Now,
and he can he's a running back. He's true hybrid. And then I'm curious in live action what it'll be like when he returns punts, because it's clear that they want to get some field position. He's got a little Charles in him. You don't have to have a perfect play, just like the one I was mentioning. They throw a check down to him, and he's so fast, he zooms by the linebacker, and you've got a big play. And if he can become the kind of field position creating punt returner that they want, then, hey, I mean, the kid's golden.
Dwayne Bowe.
Improved. It was, you know, everybody's watching him really closely. He seems different mentally and physically, and I don't know if it was working with Fitzgerald and Chris Carter. I don't know if it's, hey, he felt like, you know, this offseason he really goofed up, or that, hey, this is a critical time for him and his career and his life. I don't know all that. But so far he's different. He's run very good routes. I mentioned it looked like he missed a blitz call on Saturday. Castle picks up a blitz. They're going to send Barry. It's Barry's first practice. They're going to send him on a dog, and Castle picks it up. And I said, oh, okay, they got it picked up. And I don't think Debo picked it up. He ran a wrong route, and everybody blames the quarterback. But it's just a matter of him, Dwayne, jumping to the next level. But his route running appears to be much improved over the last several years.
To me, I don't believe there's anything he can show in camp. I've seen him make great catches. Yeah. I've seen him do those things. He's going to be on this football team. He's going to start for this football team. The question is,
this football team needs him.
Oh, absolutely it does. The question is he going to make the plays on Sunday? That's when it's going to matter. I mean,
and the kind of plays, most of his big plays, and you know I've talked about this in the past, have been shirts and skins, fades.
Right.
You know, he's a great fade guy because he's so strong. I mean, the guy's strong. But I'm talking a shallow cross, a slant, catch a slant, break three tackles, and create a big play. His longest play is 58 yards.
San Diego's rookie year?
It was Oakland, his rookie year, and it's a shirts and skins play that breaks down that should have been a sack, and Warren Sapp misses a quarterback, and I think it was Heward goes running around, and then he's broken. He catches it at about 30 and runs 28 more yards. You know, he's a tackle breaker. But run crisp routes. Don't make the quarterback guess. Pick up blitz calls, hot route. It's what the great receivers in this league do.
Tight end can save a quarterback a lot.
Huge.
Do you like what you're seeing out of Moiaki and the position as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the total equation. I mean, I don't think you can sit there and go, hey, Moiaki's going to have 80 catches and 10 touchdowns, but he is a skilled athlete, and you can see his ability to run routes and catch it. Pope is he's a blocker. They're going to need Pope too, and I'm curious to watch O'Connell and see if can he move forward? Where's he at? Can he get up there? Can he be a legit third tight end? So that he's not inactive on Sunday, and you can go with a three tight end package if that's what you want to do against that certain opponent. But Moiaki's got a chance. To me, the key for Moiaki is making this team more efficient in the red zone. Last year they were number one in the NFL, number one in the NFL in red zone efficiency. They had no turnovers in the red zone last year, none. The only one was they didn't score at the end of the half against Oakland. The only time all season, and that's one of the stars that they did get on last year. But they didn't have very many touchdowns in the red zone. They're middle to little behind the half. That has got to change. People say, how do you get from 4 wins to 8 wins or 9 wins? That's one area.
Yeah.
That you get 7s instead of 3s, and to me, Moiaki's very important in that role.
Offensive line, we mentioned one 4 guys back. Ryan Liljit, theoretically an upgrade. We believe that this is the offensive line. I think it was 8 sacks in the last 6 games. As opposed to 34 in the first 10, we saw the rushing attack come alive the last 8 weeks once Charles was inserted. Offensive line now a strength?
I don't know if it's a strength, but it's getting there, and I've watched them closer than any other group during the first 6 sessions. And I had a chance to talk to Scott Pioli last night, and I just kind of threw some things out there. I'm like, am I off? Am I on? Am I the most, to me, the surprise player of this camp so far after 6 sessions is Barry Richardson. he looks like a left tackle now. Yeah. And I've watched him, and I've watched him.
That was very scary at one point when you see him on the left side. He was drafted to be a right tackle and always thought to be not quite quick enough to get out there on the left tackle spot. But you're telling me they like him. He leaned his body down last year with the workout.
Well,
he did a great job.
There's a long way to go. He's not in the Pro Bowl yet.
But you can live with him. If Brandon Albert gets hurt, you can live with him at left tackle.
Bingo, because I told you a month ago that the weakest part of this team is Albert goes down, because I don't see any plan B. All of a sudden now you got plan B. O'Callaghan looks better to me. O'Callaghan has jumped up his game. I've watched him on individuals when they do two-on-two, watched him on team. I mean, he looks like he can be a very good right tackle. I'm most excited about Asamoah.
First of all, he's got to be bigger than the list at 305. He is a mountain of a guy.
He looks like an NFL player.
Yeah.
And he's repping in the right side, and he's repping on the left side. And I'm told he can center. But they've repped him back and forth. It's not been a 50-50 split, but he's not totally lost when he goes left and then he goes right. And he looks like an athlete, and he's a big athlete. So coming into this camp for the big picture, because of all of the ills over the last 3.5 years, the biggest ill we all know was an old offensive line that had nothing behind them, and all of a sudden you went to ground zero. Now, and I haven't mentioned most of the starters here, but they had to develop some young offensive linemen. And now all of a sudden I start to see these guys come a little bit, that Richardson may have a future. I think Asamoah's got a future.
Right.
And O'Callaghan, the future's now because he's a starting right tackle.
The Brian Waters injury scare you at all?
No.
No? Be no. ready to go come game day?
No. I don't hear anything where it's, hey, it's really scary and he's out for the season or whatever. And I think they've got depth there now. Yeah. Lilja can go left now. Lilja played his whole career at left tackle. Left guard. He's not played right guard ever. Yeah. He's been a left guard. So you can do that and put Asamoah in at right guard if you have to do that. No, I don't. I'm not losing any sleep over that one.
All right, we'll take a break here. We're talking to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Defense up next, 30th in the NFL last year. Are they going to improve? How much will they improve? That's coming up next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com, straight out of St. Joe, Missouri. Chiefs training camp home, as the Chiefs are in camp and practicing. You can get up here very quick and easy. And a lot of fans are. Just be ready to bear the heat. Bearing the heat today, Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk a little defense with you. Number 30 overall in the NFL, over 150 a game on the ground they gave up. Number 21 against the pass. By the way, that was 31st in the NFL against the run. It starts there.
Yeah,
it starts with stopping the run. We've heard a lot of talk about stopping the run for a lot of years. It hasn't happened. Their front seven, the additions they made, Sean Smith to compete at the nose tackle spot, Cameron Sheffield, fifth-round pick, to compete as an outside linebacker. That's it. I mean, that's not a lot of investments. Now, they've already got high-priced first-round contracts on Derek Johnson, although he's on a tender contract because his deal was up, and with the new CBA or without a CBA, he gets, but still, some bucks there. Yep. Tom Bahali on a first-round contract. Glenn Dorsey on a very expensive number five overall contract, and Tyson Jackson on a huge number three overall contract. There's only so much money you can spend on that front seven. At some point, those players have to play better. Let's start with the front three. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer year one to year two is when you make your biggest jump as a player. Tyson Jackson has a chance to do that. Glenn Dorsey's kind of a de facto player in that, in the sense that it's year two for him playing D-end in a 3-4, so I give him a chance to grow a lot. But Tyson Jackson has a chance, has to grow, has to get significantly better. Why do you believe he will? Well, or do you?
I'm still waiting and seeing. And again, I tell you, I've watched the offensive line mostly over the first six sessions, and I'm going to start watching those guys now over the next six. I don't know. I'm waiting and seeing. He has to, because that five technique is so important in the 3-4 defense, and it's the Richard Seymour spot. And, I mean, Todd talks about it every day, of the guy's getting better first year to the second year. And, hey, I just want to wait and see. Glenn Dorsey played better last year than people thought. And, I've talked about that, I mean, on your show on Sports Radio 810 and on the Red Zone.
He didn't start against Cleveland, and they got run over.
They got run over, and they needed him on the field. And when you watch the tape, you're going, oh, my gosh, they need him on the field.
And that one game, they gave up over 300, right, on the ground.
Well, Jerome Harrison he was going to set an all-time NFL record, and the guy was driving a UPS truck the week before.
The one game added 10 yards per game to their average. In other words,
by the
150
way,
plus another 150 means you can put an extra 10 yards on all the other games.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have been in the 140s if not for that game.
Yeah, and he
still bad, but.
But your year one to year two, I saw it on tape. I saw Glenn make that jump. And you're right, it is de facto because he had a complete change in scheme. Now, I'll tell you one thing that does excite me and what I've seen is Anthony Pleasant coaching that position. I think that is an upgrade over what they had. Let me be honest with you, because he teaches. Crumrye was the Full Metal Jacket drill sergeant at Camp Pendleton, you know, yelling at him. But after a while, it's like the Doberman in the next yard over, just barking all the time. Anthony's, what I've seen, he's done a great job of teaching, you know, and he played the position and, you know, build and some intended to, but I just see a better approach there. I think Sean Smith will help at the nose tackle position, and you're saying competing. That's a great – if you don't have Will Fork, it's great to have two guys play that spot.
Right.
Because, honestly, Ron Edwards played probably too many snaps last year. I mean, you can wear a guy down in that zero tech spot if he's out there just gut grinding it all the time, because that's a hard position, too, to play. So if Sean Smith and those two guys talk about competing, I'd love to see him 50-50 that, because you're going to see some improvement in the A gap if you've got some guy fresh there clogging it up, and Sean Smith can clog it up. So I'm with you. Hopefully Glenn can make another step forward, second year in the 3-4, and first year with Anthony, and then Tyson can do what Glenn did last year. If that happens, then you're going to see a drastic improvement. I have a concern over depth at those spots, at the 3-tech and the 5-tech, I'll be real honest with you. You know, I want to see guys in the 09 class, you know, merge and take that step forward, too, and that includes Alex McGee. Mm-hmm. I mentioned O'Connell at tight end. McGee trying to do the same thing at that backup spot because, again, Glenn Dorsey played just a ghastly number of snaps last year, and boom, he gets hurt and can't play the Cleveland game. So it's nice if you can do some rotation there. They do a good job of what I've seen here, and they did last year, but I think Romeo's got a really good idea because he rotates a lot of guys on sub packages. When you bring in nickel and dime, and they can do that. So you guys do get rest there. But just to put those front three guys out in a 3-4 and just say, man, go nail them for 70 snaps week by week by week, at some point it can, you know, the fuse goes off.
They had problems there. They've got to get better there. There's potential to get better there. The middle linebackers. Now, I think we know what we've got on the outside. There's the potential for Tom Bahaly to get better year two for him at the outside linebacker spot.
That's a hard spot to play, too.
Mike,
you know, other than quarterback, probably the hardest spot on this team, I think.
Why?
Because you got to do everything. You've got to defend the pass. You got to defend the run. You've got to be able to rush the quarterback, but you can't be just a rush the quarterback guy and go get some sacks and then let the next snap, some guy runs free because you've blown an assignment. It's if you watch Vrabel play on the other side, Vrabel is so good at understanding formations and nuances and, oh, this looks like a pass or a run. And I saw this formation on tape. Here's their tendency to do this. I think Tom is getting there. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, hadn't played a whole lot of football in his life. And so I think there's just some instinctive things football-wise that he's catching up on that you have to play that position. Because, again, I got to defend the run, the pass, down and distance. What are the tendencies? Oh, this formation, what's this guy going to do? I see how they're lining up here. This guy's going to kick out, block me. I've got to defend my gap if that's my job on that play. Because if I get blown up, it's out the gate. I got to defend tight ends. I got to defend running backs. If I'm dropping into a zone, I might have to cover a wide receiver. It is really, really, really a hard spot, and that's a spot that I'll be watching Tom, but this year really closely to see if he can jump up. If you can get that guy, and that's what this defense is really geared for. And your high productivity guys in this defense, when it's doing the best, is those two outside backers.
Studebaker would be obvious depth, had the huge game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Sheffield, it's early. I'm not going to ask you think this.
No, I like the body though.
Already?
Well, I like the body.
He looks the part.
And he's made a couple plays. I mean, he's done a couple things, and it's real early.
Right.
But when you go to a computer and go, I want a 3-4 outside linebacker. That's kind of what they look like. So.
He looks the part, and we'll see. He certainly provides depth. The middle linebackers though have to play better. There were too many times, and I remember in the Cleveland game even where they're there, but they don't make the tackle. Whether it's sliding off a guy, not being able to deliver the impact to take him off his feet and just kind of sliding down the leg, or not closing, they've got to do a better job. You know, and it's not just them. I mean, like I said, we covered the D-line first. They've got to do better.
Yep.
There needs to be massive improvement from that front seven. The middle linebackers, Corey Mays and DeMario Williams are the returning starters. They're being pushed by Jovan Belcher and
DJ
Derek Johnson.
And they've split time. It's been about 50-50 with the ones. And, of course, Todd will say, don't say ones. It's like the first group.
Right.
But, seriously, they've been 50-50. First couple sessions, it was Mays and Williams. The last several sessions, it's been Belcher and DJ. So I almost see four guys for two slots there, like rotating. And that might be okay because I think – Mays and Williams wore down last year. That's also a spot where you can wear down. And that Cleveland game where they kind of just got, you know, wiped into Dunkirk, into the English Channel, I think it was a lot of wear and tear on those guys that just kind of the fuse went off there.
Yeah.
And if you got four guys that can play that spot, I like Belcher. I mean, they
I
go
too.
And this is something Scott has told me, and what the Patriots were able to do is they look for defensive linemen in college who have the potential to play linebacker.
And that's what athletes. He is from Maine.
He's and that's what
lineman.
He is.
Yeah.
And he made that switch. And he's an athletic kid now. And he's got his hips move, and you watch him on special teams. So if you get a 4-for-2 going there, you don't have Ray Lewis in there. So and DJ's better, I think. Everyone wants DJ. What's DJ, 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 DJ? I almost think it's better when you spot play him because – for whatever reason, I mean,
you get the best of him for less plays.
For less plays. But in those less plays, he can run a pick six or go sack Ben Roethlisberger at the key point of the game or run a 70-yard pick back against Baltimore. And DJ looks to be reborn here a little bit. I mean, he's been really focused. You know, at that inside backer position, as much as anybody, you can't cheat at that spot. I can't go around the block. I mean, if somebody's going to – I can't slide it off the outside shoulder if I'm supposed to take a guy head-on and hold that gap. And so if four guys can play two spots there, I'm okay with it and not wear down.
Yeah, we're talking with Mitch Holthus here in the red zone. All right, back to the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of youth in that secondary. You considered, you know, there's not a lot of 10-year vets anymore other than, say, John McGraw.
Right.
But let's start at the guy that everybody gets excited when he steps out there, Eric Berry. Early returns. The athleticism flashes immediately. Now the question is, how does he get used by Romeo Crennel? I talked to Rodney Harrison several weeks ago at the American Century Championships in Tahoe. He loved, you know, shockingly, he thought he was the best player in the draft. I go, really? A safety? Thought a safety was the best player in the draft. But, you know, it is also a
Let's hope we get Eric without the fines.
Yeah, yeah. Get Rodney without the fines.
Yeah, we want Rodney without the fines.
But I did think it made a statement that he had seen him play, liked what he did, saw, you know, some of him in there. But he even admitted, you know, he's faster, you know. And the question, I think, becomes, you know, Romeo Crennel and how he uses him in coverage. You know, I think everybody's thinking he's going to be the guy to save the day against the run. You know, I've pulled the numbers. The Troy Polamalu's and Ed Reed's make about 60 tackles a year. They don't make 110 like Mike Brown did last year. That's a recipe.
You don't
for
want
death.
Them making
no.
110 tackles.
You're in trouble yes. when your safety.
You're
makes
4-12 when you're
right.
Okay.
Absolutely. But where he can make an impact is game changing interceptions, game changing sacks.
Yep.
If you bring him on the blitz, the athleticism is there, the attitude is there. You see the character right away. The question is, are we going to see the production right away out of him, or is it going to take some time?
No, I think you're going to see some production. The guy I'm most excited about is the whole team, and I'm going to stay with it, and I've been this way a year and a half, is Brandon Flowers. I think, my opinion, he's the best player on the team. Lenny and I and Kendall talked about it last year. I'm thinking, if they could clone this kid, can you clone Flowers? They'd play him on the slot because he was the best slot blitzer to go finish and get to the quarterback. He can do that. He can cover the best guy. Well, maybe you've kind of cloned him a little bit. Because you brought athletes to the second, Javier Arenas, but Barry to some extent, because he can blitz and finish.
Yeah.
And he can get from point A to point B and go and get it done, or all of a sudden he can correct if he's made a mistake, and he's got that ability. You throw in Arenas, you throw in him, now you've got Flowers, and then you've got the holdovers with Leggett and Carr. But then you throw in two guys I really, really, really like, and that's Rashard Langford, who's the free agent kid out of Vanderbilt, and Kendrick Lewis, who I think, just here on August the 3rd or whatever it is, will be the surprise guy of this draft, the fifth-round pick. And so far that I've seen him, everybody's talking about Pollard. He's going to Houston. He'll be a Pro Bowler. And he's wearing the same number. But this is a more athletic Pollard who can make plays and seems to have a football.
More athletic. Come on now. That's a big statement.
Oh, it is. Watch him.
Pollard was
I know it, but watch
a tremendous athlete that just was in wrong spots a lot.
Or he would take a wrong angle and Lendale White goes for 80 yards. No, just watch this. I'm putting these guys on a pedestal and they got a ways to go. I'm saying potentially he's got a chance to be really, really good. Maybe better than any of us thought, you know, from us from the outside looking in could be. Put all that together, okay? You've got three or four safeties who are athletic and can play. You've got now three corners who are athletic and can play. And so all of a sudden now you can handle when other teams do to you what the Chiefs can do to other teams, and that is try to get you in mismatches, and you get in problems in personnel alignment where you've got the runt pig. The NFL, and I talk about this on the play-by-play, NFL will find the runt pig, and when they find the runt pig, they will just take him to the slaughterhouse. If you don't have a runt pig in that secondary, it's huge. And I'm saying I think we're chasing the runt pigs out of here. All of a sudden I see a whole bunch of athletic guys there that seem to kind of know how to play the game and can do a whole bunch of things, defend the pass, defend the run, and blitz if they have to and get there and make something happen.
You get better athleticism, and this is the last part of it. You get better athleticism, you get better on special teams.
No question.
And they were improved last year. I know the Cleveland game people will point to, and that was a bad game, no doubt. They give up the two-kick return for touchdowns for Josh Cribbs. But overall, their coverage was better.
Yep.
You get even more athletes out on the field. Theoretically, it should get even better. You feel good about Colquitt. You hope there's no sophomore slump out of Suckup. And if there's not, you feel real good about the kicking part of it. Then it becomes about the coverage and protection part of it. Protection kind of goes along with the offensive line and so on and so forth. But the coverage.
And the backers, because they're going to be protecting too.
The coverage comes down to the athletes that are on the field. And on paper, the athletes look like they're better.
Yeah. I would agree. In fact, that's the focus of my deal today. Once I'm leaving you here, I'm going to do a thing on KCChiefs.com on just kickoff coverage. We're going to take it down to just one area. And they improved last year for the most part over the year before. It was awful the year before. But then it became awful in the Cleveland game. And it skewed the stats some. But, oh, guess who they played with the week two of the season? Joshua Cribbs. And there were times where they kind of just got overmatched in special teams. And hopefully when you've added a whole new group of athletes like they've got, that you're going to either just win that battle for sure. If you win the special teams battle, more than likely you're going to win the game. But don't get beat in special teams. At least have a draw there.
The return game?
Like, wait and see. Don't know yet. I mean, there's six punt guys out here working on punt returns. We really haven't seen kickoff return yet at all.
No. Can you use Arenas? Can you use McCluster in that? Or are they going to be too valuable on each side of the ball?
Well, so far McCluster looks like the guy they've had out there is with the first group. There's no ones, twos, and threes. So, I don't know. It looks like McCluster is going to touch it a lot. And I will see. I mean, he's not a big kid, but if you're making people miss, it's like Jamal Charles. I mean, I've never seen a player in my time in the NFL go through what Charles did last year. Covering kicks, he made five special teams tackles. People have forgotten about that. He's returning kicks. I mean, he's touching the ball a zillion times. But when you're fast and shifty and people aren't getting lock-on shots on you, that's different than somebody that's getting piled every time.
Yeah, it's you know, it's exciting. It's promising.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
There's a long way to go through camp, and injuries will be a big part of it.
That's the huge caveat.
Yeah, and we will see. We're talking to Mitch Holthus here in the Red Zone. Joins us on a regular basis. Of course, you hear him calling the games for the Kansas City Chiefs on 101 The Fox, and, of course, does a lot of work here on the website, kcchiefs.com. Mitch, we've come to the Final Four. Are you prepared?
I'm never prepared, but you, in the National Football League, you got to go on the fly, so I'm already calling audible.
Todd Haley.
Debo, make sure you get this audible. Okay.
Todd Haley, year two, what do you want to see? Just
Eisenhower instead of Patton.
Okay.
Eisenhower instead of Patton. You're leading the D-Day invasion. You're not in a tank trying to get 200 meters through, you know, run the tanks out of gas in hand-to-hand combat. And I think he's got an opportunity to do that because he's got Omar Bradley and Montgomery here. I mean, he's got some one-stars under him, and he's a two-star. Now he's got a chance to be a two-star general.
All right. The thing you miss the most about River Falls, Wisconsin?
Lake Pepin. A place called the Lake Harbor Cafe.
Really?
Oh, yeah. One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in the United States of America.
Lake Pepin.
Lake Pepin. If you went there and didn't go landlocked, I should have taken you. It's called one of the 10 most beautiful drives in the United States. You go south of River Falls on the Wisconsin side of the Mississippi River. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the glaciers made a natural lake in the Mississippi called Lake Pepin. Wabasha, Minnesota is on the other side of the lake, which was where they did the movie Grumpy Old Men. And Pepin's across the river / lake at that point. And there's a place called the Lake Harbor Cafe to die for. Right. I will go back there someday. Mark it down.
Okay, very good. Good to know. Lake Pepin.
Lake Pepin.
All right, who leads this team in TD receptions?
Bo.
It is Debo?
Yep. Okay. It'll be divided. It won't be like 20.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be spread out.
All right, and finally, I'll ask you this every time. Your prediction on the record for the Chiefs this year.
And I always tell you, there's no good way to answer this. If I go 14-2, he's a shill. He's a shill. He just speaks for the team. I don't know. They're going to be 6-10. See, he doesn't believe in the team. He'll fire that guy. Meaningful December games. I'm standing by it.
Yeah, but give me a record.
9-7.
9-7. That's solid. That's solid. I like that. Mitch, great stuff as always. We always appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're the best. If not, you're in the playoffs.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Very kind.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. Wrapping things up here in the Red Zone on KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you as we are here in St. Joe, Missouri. Chiefs training camp is well underway. A great spot for you to get to. Our thanks to Mitch Holthus. Does a fantastic job, not only with the play-by-play of the Kansas City Chiefs, but also his analysis. There is nobody who is more prepared as a play-by-play guy in the National Football League than Mitch Holthus. Knows his football team forward and backward, studies the game, knows the game. It is always great to talk to Mitch Holthus. We always appreciate the time as he is out now scouting practice and making his notes, getting ready for the season. You can get ready for the season. You can get your tickets right here at the website, kcchiefs.com. Tickets available, both season and single game tickets for the new Arrowhead, the debut coming on that first home preseason game, third preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles on the 27th of August. Your chance to take a look at the stadium. Also, the Chiefs charity game benefiting the Children's Center for the Visually Impaired. A great opportunity to get out to the stadium and check out what is going to be a fantastic debut for the new Arrowhead. I think everybody is really going to be excited. Get out there early and walk around and check out all the great locations. I think one of the things you're going to find, there are all kinds of new great congregation areas to hang out with friends before, during, after the game. You're really going to enjoy it, and you're going to enjoy St. Joe. I will tell you this, there really is a feeling that this franchise is reborn. Scott Pioli and Todd Haley, hired last year to turn things around on this football team, but this year with a new training camp location, closer to home, closer to its fans, the renovated Arrowhead Stadium being debuted, it is like a rebirth of the franchise, and I think fans are really going to enjoy this season. I heard Mitch Holthus' prediction, 9-7. I'm in that same range. I'm saying 8-8 with a chance to go to 10-6. Football to be played. The good news is it's right down the road from you. You got a chance to come up here and see it. We'll see what the Chiefs can get done, and hopefully the Chiefs can get out of it healthy. That's going to be one of the biggest keys for this football team, is to get out healthy. But their depth is getting better. Their athleticism is getting better. Now there's just the work to get ready for the season. So for everybody here in the Red Zone, I want to thank Adam Pellegrino, Brad Young, Curtis Siebold, and of course Mitch Holthus. Thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to The Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.